What do you mean when you say I love you to your spouse? Because depending on the kind of love you're referring to, your marriage might be out of balance.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Hey, we are Gabe and Melissa Kolstad, and we're here with Marriage Monthly. We want to talk to you about this idea that your marriage might be out of balance.
Yeah.
And we've got to figure this out. Because
in the love area.
In the love area.
This is really interesting.
Yeah, it is totally interesting because, you know, there are actually different kinds of love. And even the Bible uses multiple words to describe mm-hmm. love, multiple like Greek words. And believe it or not, you need all of them. You don't just need one kind. And so we're going to kind of dispel a myth today about the kinds of love that you need. And one of the things that we are going to share is how these types of love work together, but you got to get them in the right order. And that's where we're going to head today. So do you agree that our love has evolved in 28 years of marriage?
Well, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
But I think it's still, all the same parts are there. They're just different now.
Yeah. We have to evolve together.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens in the breakdown a lot of times is that it's not, you're not evolving together.
Oh yeah. That's a good point.
So your love can't stay in one spot. I don't know. We'll explain more. You'll get it in a second when we talk about these three types of love.
Okay, you kick us off the first one.
Okay. The first type of love that's in the Bible that I don't know. I mean, I think this one is really interesting, but I think this is the kind of the infatuation mm-hmm. start of the relationship, and it's eros.
Nice. You said it right.
I did, and I don't...
It's not euros.
No, not euros.
But it sounds kind of the same.
It does.
Yeah.
Eros.
Eros. E-R-O-S.
Anyways, basically, that's the sexy love. And that's kind of where you start out a lot of times. You're kind of infatuated with that person, right? Like, oh my gosh, he's so hot. I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to kiss. Can't wait to hold hands, all that kind of stuff. And this is referring to like a physical or sexual love.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Greek word and it's referred in the New Testament in several different locations. And I love this. I want to talk about this for a second. It's in 1 Corinthians 7:5. It talks about don't deprive each other or the devil can get a foothold and there could be temptation that happens
there. Talking about sex in marriage.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so, so true because I think a lot of times people are like, I don't know why I feel disconnected from my spouse. And sometimes I'm like, when was the last time you had sex?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it was like 6 months ago or we don't have sex anymore. I'm like, what? Like you have to have eros in your relationship.
Yeah.
You have to. It's just God designed marriage like that. So anyway, so I think that's interesting because it talks about don't not do it.
Yeah.
Or else the devil can get a foothold. And we've seen this a zillion mm-hmm. times. So I'm just telling you, give out. Okay. And then another one that I'm just so frank. I can't help it. Okay. Another one is in Hebrews 13:4, where it says, be faithful to your partner because God judges immorality.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so powerful because, and this might go the other way because your eros should only be for your spouse.
I think that's such a good point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think defining that is important.
Yeah,
what do you mean your eros should only be for your spouse?
Yeah. Because I feel like you should never pull in other people or other things mm-hmm. in your relationship. Like you shouldn't be going to a strip club. You shouldn't be bringing in porn. That kind of stuff is inviting other people in. And I think the devil gets a foothold mm-hmm. in that too. And
because it's another object of your attention.
Yeah.
A person.
And it's pulling you away from the person you love and your attention's on something else or someone else. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair because it's like my attention should only be on you mm-hmm. in that area. And so, and I think that gets blurred a lot of times when people bring in other things. And I think that's very unhealthy.
And I think in this culture and in this time, you have to fight it. You know, you have to have boundaries.
It's everywhere.
You have to. Yeah, it is.
You have to have those blockers everywhere. On your phone, on your computer, all that kind of stuff, because it'll just pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what in the world? Where'd that come from? But you have to have the integrity enough to cut that out.
Yeah.
Be like, no, I don't look at that kind of stuff. I have eyes only for my one lover.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting how that happens because I think that, you know, God will judge immorality. So like being pure and just being in this relationship as a married couple is where it needs to be. So you can't add other people in there. So why is this love important in marriage?
Why do you think it is?
Well, I have some thoughts. I think it's kind of the glue that keeps things passionate and intimate. This is just my take on it. So I feel like couples that don't practice this kind of love are just roommates.
Okay.
And that's kind of boring to me. Like if you just want to be a partner, then just be a partner. Don't get mm-hmm. married. But if you want a marriage, I think this has to be a part of it. So God created sex to be enjoyed and in the context of marriage between a husband and a wife. And I think that's really important. And so I think that it brings you closer together. I think as a couple, you can tell when you're feeling distant.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, it's been a couple of weeks since we've had sex. And you're like, oh, and you have sex and it brings you closer together. The intimacy and the passion is brought back together. I think it's really important. So Eros is really important. Yeah. So yeah, that's the first kind of love.
I do too. And, you know, as Melissa's always said, the rule should be every day, right? Sex every day.
Right. No, Melissa does not have that rule. No.
Okay. I thought we talked about that.
That's too much, too messy. No.
Whatever.
number two, moving on.
Okay. Yeah. But remember back in the Genesis days, you're right. Because God even created Adam and Eve in that very beginning with that attraction, that physical attraction.
Absolutely.
And and so in many ways, this is how our relationship begins. And we're going to talk about that more in a minute. But let me introduce the second kind of love that is mentioned in the Bible, and it's called phileo. And it is like where the word Philadelphia comes from, actually, mm-hmm. the city Philadelphia, because our Philadelphia wasn't the original Philadelphia. Mm. There was another one before the U.S.
right.
one.
That's right.
But phileo means friendship love, brotherly love. So Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love, right. because that's the kind that it's talking about is... Yeah. You know, the idea would be friendships, family relationships. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus is talking about father, mother, son, daughter in this kind of way, where it's elevated above infatuation or romantic love. There's a more of a commitment level talked about in that friendship kind of love.
I love when couples will be like, this is my best friend. And in that way, I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
You're friends.
And it like, should
that's
be,
important.
Right?
Yeah.
It's so important.
Friends want to hang out together. Friends want to hang out together. Yeah. They trust each other. You know, those are just friendship things.
Well, they want to be each other. Like Melissa was just gone for 6 days, deserted me completely, left the state. I was all by myself. Yeah. And
you
I missed
cried
her.
Every night.
I did. I did miss her. Like I was thinking to myself, because I went to the beach to try to, you know, comfort myself.
Mourn.
Yeah, that I was by myself. Yeah. And I was like, this place is boring without Melissa.
That's right,
I did
it
say
is.
That.
You shouldn't have gone without me.
I know. And you shouldn't have left me.
Well, I was with Caleb and we had a ball.
Well, yeah. So, you know, this phileo love was the kind that Jesus, the word that Jesus used for his friend Lazarus.
Mm.
And which, you know, so
they were close.
He cried when he realized Lazarus was dead.
Mm-hmm.
He had that emotional connection to him, that friendship love connection to him. And it's also how he described his disciples. I love you, like brother, you know, and that. So there's value and depth to it. And I think one of the mistakes that we make in marriage is saying you only need one kind of love. I think in some ways, it's like, I look at it like a toolbox in some ways. Well, there's times for erotic love, absolutely, in marriage. There's times for brotherly love or friendship love in marriage. So why do you think friendship love is important in marriage?
I think you have to have each other's back, right?
Okay.
I mean, it's like, because I was thinking about this. I have a friend that, this was a long time ago, and she was like, I was like, how's your marriage going? And she was like, oh, you know what? It's really weird. We have really great sex, but we don't like being around each other. And I was like, what? I'm like, that's really sad.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, why on earth you don't want to hang out? You don't want to go to the beach and, you know, just hang out, go out to dinner together, just chill with your spouse, but you guys are good with having sex. That's weird to me.
It seems a little, usually it'd be the other way around if you had one or the other, right?
Yeah. But it's like, yeah. So I don't know. That was an interesting thing. But thinking about just friendship is like, I feel like there's just a bond of trust and community wanting to hang together, wanting to be involved in each other's life. And there's this like safety in the friendship. So hopefully, I mean, that to me is phileo love. But what do you think?
I mean, I think that it is something that you can count on. You know, like if you have a need in your life and you can count on a friend, you can count on them.
Yeah.
They're going to be there for you. They're going to come to your rescue. They're going to come to your side, you know,
and they're going to stand up for you.
They're going to hang with you. You know, they're going to think about you, encourage you. There's all those things that friends do that I think it's important that we do for one another in a marriage too. And it's that... You know, that very human side, I think, of love is the friendship piece.
Yeah.
Where I picture, you know, not being buddies with you, but in a way, you know, like we've always enjoyed being around each other. And
right. I always say you're my favorite adventure partner. Like every time, because I have a pretty exciting social life. I think I'm out a lot with my girlfriends and hanging out and stuff like that. Not guys. I don't hang out with guys ever one-on-one. I mean, it's a thing. I have to say that.
Yeah.
Like, phileo love with your spouse is one thing. But I don't think you should be hanging out with guys. If you're married in a committed relationship, I don't know if I would, like, I don't think you should hang out with other people of the opposite sex. But I don't know. I have a thing about that. I don't know. Maybe
I mean, I think it's an important boundary. At least it has been for us, right?
Yeah. Very but important. I have always been like, you are my favorite person to hang out with, like by far. Mm-hmm. Like, and I love all my girlfriends. And you're but mine. You're my favorite. So yeah.
And I'm still mad at you for leaving me.
I know.
All right. You'll get over it. What's the third kind of love?
This is the absolute best love right here. This is agape love. And agape love is so beautiful. Jesus represented agape love so beautifully when he died on the cross for us. I mean, it is so self-sacrificing. It is, it's so servanthood. Like it's, there's something about agape love, like laying down a life, you know, for your friend. I mean, agape love is a sacrificial, unconditional love, the kind we promise at our weddings in front of all of our families and friends.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
We're like, okay, so I'm going to love you till death do us part. Good, bad, sick, health, all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then 50% of marriages quit on that and they decide against that. But you made that commitment to agape love. Like you should be able, you should commit everything to your spouse. I mean, like sacrifice. I would die in Gabe's place in a heartbeat. And I think that we should feel like that with our spouses, that I would take the bullet any day of the week in his place. But there's some stuff
isn't
here.
Like a Bruno Mars song about that?
I think there is.
Put my head on a blade for you.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd put my head on a blade for you.
That would hurt.
That would be gross. Yeah. But okay. It's the highest form of love. Agape love is referred in John 3:16, when Jesus died for us. And again, in Matthew 22:37, it says we should love God. And then again in John 13:34, when it says we should love others. And that's kind of interesting because in the New Testament, it's saying agape love to love others.
Right.
Whoa. You're telling me that I got agape love, self-sacrifice love for my friends?
Right.
Ooh, for others? Maybe not even my friends, maybe my enemies. I mean, John 13:34 is saying agape love to one another. So, I mean, that's a big one. And my favorite thing is that agape love is the word for love in 1 Corinthians 13. And that's why we always read this at weddings. And I know it sounds cheesy, but it is. It's agape love that you will be with them until the end. And I think it's so beautiful. And I love when we read it at ceremonies. I am offended when people don't want it read because it's like the glue that everything happens
it's
with that.
It's a great picture.
It's such a great picture.
Yeah.
I love it. Anyways, so I love that. So agape love is really deep.
It is.
Like that is the highest form of love. I mean, if someone agape loves you, that is what? That's super powerful. Like that's everything.
Well, and I mean, I love that you said we're called to agape love others, but I mean, that includes the friends, that includes people that may not even agree with.
Yeah.
How much more then should we be agape loving our spouse?
Absolutely.
And that's kind of where the rubber meets the road. I think it's why it's so important in marriage is that, can you imagine being in a marriage where your spouse shows more agape love to people other than you?
Yeah. Well,
that would feel like a real, like a real takeaway. And so I think we've got to get these pieces of love in place in our marriages because that's the relationship that God's holding us accountable to the most.
Yep.
And I just love that image of what it looks like to grow old together in this kind of relationship where you have all three of these things in play. And, you know, you can imagine growing closer more and more, growing more in love. I think love is something that when you pursue all of these loves, it doesn't diminish over time.
No, it should get stronger.
It should get stronger.
I love you more 28 years later than we did on our wedding day.
Yeah, me too.
Like, and it's deeper and more mature and it's different, but it's just as powerful.
Absolutely.
Probably more.
And on our 100th wedding anniversary on July 15th Barcelona. Of 2095.
No, are we going to be in Rome or Barcelona?
Rome. It's in Rome.
We're in
Guys,
Rome.
It's okay. in Rome.
Okay. I thought we were in Barcelona for something.
Oh, that's something else.
Oh, the church thing.
The church
thing. The Finnish church. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, we want to grow more in love, and we can if we're going to put these things in place. So here's what I want to help us kind of land the plane with, which is that these things work together. And if you think about a triangle and like the base of a triangle, a lot of times our culture for sure would paint a picture that, well, you got to start with eros. You know, you got to start with physical love because if you don't have that, you know, what do you have?
Which is kind of, I mean, I kind of get the point because it's like, most of the time you're attracted first, right? You're like, oh my gosh, he's hot or she's hot. I get the point, but I think that our culture takes it a whole nother level because then all of a sudden they're like, oh, we'll just have sex with everybody you're attracted to. Wait.
Right. Or what? even like, and this is where I think it veers from what Jesus teaches. Even, you know, if you don't know whether you enjoy having sex with somebody, how would you want to marry them? Right.
Right.
So,
right.
So almost saying, well, then definitely test drive
everybody.
The sex life first. Right. Well, how many times are you going to do that? And
my aunt said that too. Asked before we
I
got
remember.
Married.
I remember.
Aren't you going to test drive him first? I was like, oh, nope, we're good.
And I was like, really? Huh.
So. I was shocked.
I was too. I think it's, you know, we know our culture is going to start with eros. And like you say, it's normal physical human
attraction,
thing.
Yeah.
Even Adam had a physical reaction you can read in Genesis chapter 2 when he saw Eve.
Yeah.
And then it goes to phileo, right? So then it's like, okay, it's going to grow to a love where I actually really care for you and I would really be here for you.
Yeah.
And then it's going to grow to agape, which is like, yeah, I mean, I'll give everything for you. Mm-hmm. And so that would be the top of that triangle. But I think what happened, that's like an infatuation. That's like the romance kind of love, is that it starts with eros, moves to phileo, builds to agape. But I think that maturing love flips the triangle upside down and goes, well, the foundation is agape. And if you want a marriage that's going to grow, if you want to make it 28 years and still love each other more, you have to flip that to where the commitment is the thing that never changes.
Right.
Right. Because because that you don't have eros love for each other every single day.
No.
You don't.
No.
You the brotherly love is mostly there, but not always, because there's times when we don't like each other,
but
we love each other.
I love you, but I don't like you.
Yeah. And that's every marriage, right? So if we can make sure that the agape is the base of that triangle, it's the foundation that is always going to be there. You can count on it every single day. And I think that's why we have to make sure and say, I love you. We have to demonstrate that commitment. We have to do things for one another that show that even if I don't feel sexy right now, or even if I don't feel touchy-feely, or I don't feel like hanging out, I'm going to demonstrate my love for you, because that's agape.
Yeah.
And I think that then, if you've got that, then you do end up, you know, because you act your way into feeling, then you do end up wanting to be with each other. That's phileo. And then that can lead to some great times of eros love in a marriage.
Of course.
And I think, again, it's really asking the question, what do we want to be the foundation? Eros is not strong enough to weather the storms.
No.
But agape is.
It just moves too much with feelings. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you can't rely on that.
Yeah.
It's the fun part, but it's not the commitment foundation. I think agape love needs to be the foundation.
Yeah.
No matter what. And how is that the foundation? And my thoughts were that the foundation of agape love is sacrifice, serving, giving, forgiving, being reliable.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. And just being there, just showing up. Just being there for the moments, every moment, not just big ones, every moment. I think that shows self-sacrificing agape love to your spouse. But with that as the base, the other two kind of fall into place, right? They just kind of follow. Because when you have that, when I know that I am unconditionally loved and you're serving and loving and forgiving and giving to me and all these beautiful things, you naturally want to hang out with that person, be
Absolutely.
Friends. You naturally want to have sex with that person, be intimate with that person, because it's kind of, I think, agape is the foundation for all the other good stuff too.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's important. So anyways, but yeah, so that's fun.
Yeah.
I like that triangle thing. That's cool. If you're wondering how Gabe and I kind of do this, is like when we're studying for something, I'll come up with like an idea. Let's talk about this. And he'll kind of build it out, a vague kind of skeleton. And then we really don't really talk about it until we show up.
Yeah. We're always surprised at what each other say.
I know. Sometimes I'm surprised, but I'm never surprised at my own craziness. But anyways, that's kind of how we break it down. But anyways, we love doing this and we hope you enjoy it. Thank you so much for joining us. Please share, subscribe, let others know what we're talking about here, and join us again next week or next month.
Yeah. See you next month.